Okay, good evening, everybody. If my pants catch fire, I think that means I'm not telling the truth. good evening, everybody, and it's amazing to see you here with this beautiful weather that we're having. I want to wish you an early good and chaydish. Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate it. And thank Mrs. Frankel for hosting the shiur here tonight. It's Rosh Chodesh Iyar. It's almost Rosh Chodesh Iyar. It's Erev Rosh Chodesh Iyar. And what we try to do when we get together on Rosh Chodesh is think about something of the direction and the message of the month. And the month of Iyar is, of course, the month of Sfira, the month of Sfiras HaEmer, the month of Nisan. We begin Sfiras HaEmer. It culminates in Sivan and the Chag of Matan Torah, but the month of Iyar from beginning to end is occupied with the period of Sfiras HaOmer, and it is around that I want to focus us as we think about the avoda of the work of the month and what's to be perhaps one of what could be many areas of focus for the month for this month of Iyar. Sfiras HaOmer is a Sfiras HaOmer is a period which is framed by the second day of Pesach and Shavuos. It begins on the second day of Pesach when an offering is brought from the new grain, from the first grain to blossom, from the barley that the Torah describes, that would be Aviv, Ki HaSa'ura Aviv. The barley is the first to blossom in the springtime. And we bring an offering of barley that's hardly processed. It's just basically roasted and brought as an offering to Hashem. And then we count, Sfartim Lachem Imachras HaShabbos. We count from there 7 weeks until Nimachras HaShabbos HaShvias, till the day following that, which is the Yom Tov of Shavuos. And on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, we bring an offering of Shtei Halechem, of two loaves of bread made from wheat, which is a little bit later to ripen. And not just that the wheat itself is later to ripen, but the wheat is not brought basically straight from the ground with a little roasting, but the wheat is processed into loaves of bread with all of the melachas, all of the stages of work which are done in order to process it into a loaf of bread. We go from here to there, from the simple offering of the barley to the significant and developed offering of the wheat. That's the description of the transition from Pesach to Shavuos. From a count which we ask people, we say, okay, so tell me something, what's Sfiras HaOmer? What are we counting to? The instinctive answer, I think almost universally, is we're counting down to get the Torah. But that's not what we say when we count the Emor. When we count the Emor, we're counting down to bring the special offering of the wheat. What is its significance? What is its nature, its relationship here? If I can, I want to add to you a second question. And also just a question of curiosity, then I'm doing this to frame what I think is a very important piece of this whole period of Kabbalah HaTorah, but more than that, it therefore frames really an attitude for us for life, in developing ourselves, and in helping those around us. The second question is that, okay, so Pesach is over. The high intensity, special halachic demands of this season, which are just not replicated in any other area of halacha anywhere around the year, are finished. The idea that you have to make sure that you blowtorch your house, that you get rid of every single last trace of chametz, that you don't have it in your house or that you don't own it. Tremendous intensity in the celebration of this Yom Tov, that we shouldn't have chametz in our house. The Beis HaMikdash, to a certain degree, is Pesach Dik, 52 weeks a year. Korbanos are not brought from chametz. There's one exception during the year, which is not really even a korban, but when a person brings a toda a korban of thanksgiving, so they brought 40 loaves of bread. Of the 40, 10 of them were chametz, 30 of them were matzah. Okay. But there's one time when a prescribed korban is brought and it's chametz. And when is that? On Shavuos. Those two loaves of bread that we referenced are chametz. The 12 loaves of bread that are put on the shulchan every Shabbos are matzah. They're not chametz. I mean, they're not matzah like ours. You know, it's not crumbly, you know, hard shmura matzah. It was doughy, but it didn't rise. It was baked so that it didn't rise. It was matzah, not chametz. But on Shavuos, the special offering, the countdown, the highlight of the Yom Tov of Shavuos is the shtei halechem that are chametz. So it seems kind of strange, doesn't it? Right, we ascribe all of this great significance to getting rid of all chametz and having only matzah on Pesach, and come Shavuos, we specifically celebrate around chametz. So these are the two points which I'm pointing out to you. Again, to frame it very, very straightforwardly, Sfiras HaEmer, the period of counting down to receiving of the Torah, is actually counting down the 50 days till Shavuos comes, where instead of bringing the simple barley offering, we bring the beautifully developed wheat breads. Why? Why is that the expression of celebration itself? And secondly, we're going from the Yom Tov of Chametz, of Matzah, excuse me, and we're counting down to this climax of Matan Torah, which is a celebration of Chametz. How are we to understand this? So I would like to suggest to you that what you have here in the description of what we're doing towards the giving of the Torah is really a description of the celebration of a quality that makes human beings, that really defines the difference between a man and anything else, any lower creatures. Before I go on, how many people here have dogs? Okay, good. I have to be very careful with this. Some of you were in shul on Pesach. How many of you were in shul on the second day of Pesach when I said a word about dogs? Anybody here? No? You were there? Okay. Can I say it again? Yeah, that's okay. Very interesting thing that Rav Huttner said, where he said that, you know, Makas Bechoros, L'chol Bnei Yisrael, L'yechratz Kelav L'shona. For the Jewish people, Makas Bechoros was going on, the Egyptians were going crazy, they were screaming, Tza'aka G'dayel L'chayif Mitzrayim. Amongst the Jewish people, a dog didn't yelp. So simply, what does that pasuk mean? You know, if there's anything nerve-wracking going on, what happens? The dog starts barking. Anything. That's why people have dogs for security. And if the dog starts barking right away. The Jewish people were so secure that even the dogs weren't barking. That's the simple meaning of the pasuk. Rav Huttner suggested something else. And he said that the Gemara says, in fact, those who are studying the Daf Yomi had it. We had it recently in the Daf Yomi. The Gemara says that amongst creatures, dogs are very chutzpahdik. Dogs are very chutzpahdik creatures. Azim. Why are dogs chutzpahdik? You would imagine because they bark at people and they start up with people. They bite people. They bark at people. He says no. So you know what the chutzpah of a dog is? The chutzpah of a dog is that it claims to be man's best friend. A dog should be man's best friend. A dog could sidle up and cuddle up and cozy up the person. It could be warm, it could be a teddy bear, it could be everything else. But a human being that's like in a different league, a human being that's has in us a piece of the divine. Again, you know, you want to have a dog to play with, it's one thing. But best friend? That the dog should be able to cajole us, the thing that's what Rav Huttner said as a vort. He said, so when the Jewish people, when it came the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the night of Yetzias Mitzrayim was really the Jewish people beginning to come into their own and to separate and to distinguish themselves from Mitzrayim and from what we all were before, the dog didn't even have the chutzpah to anymore claim hey, you know, yip, 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 you know, I'm with you, I'm next to you, I'm part of you. They understood that this was a class of itself, that this was something else. When we leave Mitzrayim, the first thing we have, the Korban Ha'emel, which is a simple barley offering. Barley is considered animal food in biblical terms and Talmudic terms, and you know, basically processed. Chazal tell us that when Adam Harishon sins, the Pasuk said, Hashem said to him that from now on you will eat the grasses of the field. You'll eat the grasses of the field. He said, Adam Rishon was previously, you know, supposed to be eating the fruits. That was his main subsistence. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, V'kaitz v'dadet ha-smiach lach v'yachalta es esef ha-sadi. You'll eat the grasses, things which grow from the ground. And says the Gemara, when Hashem said that, Zogu ein of the mois, Adam Rishon started crying. He said, really? I'm going to eat the things, the grains which grow from the ground? I'm going to eat out of the same feed bag as chamayri, as my donkey? Amiva chamayri neichel be'evus echad? And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Bezeas apecha tocha lechem. By the sweat of your brow you will eat bread. And Adam Rishon said, ah, I feel better now. Now, we read that, we're surprised, because by the sweat of your brow you should eat bread is usually taken as not a blessing, but a curse. You have to work so hard in order to be able to eat. But there's a blessing in the curse. And the blessing in the curse is that this was something which made it that he would never eat out of the same feed bag as the animal. Because to get bread, which is the subsistence of a human being, takes a process. You can't just pick it out of the ground and eat it. You have to work on it. You have to let the grain dry. You have to then separate the kernels of wheat from everything which surrounds it. You have to thresh it. You have to sift. You have to grind. You have to sift again, sift through the flour. You have to knead the flour. You have to build an oven, bake, make a fire, and then bake the dough that you needed, that you created. What we call Meleches Machsheves, you know, the work of Shabbos. Thoughtful, premeditated, step by step, in order to arrive at a destination, at a goal. An animal will never be able to do that. Animals are not going to see 12 steps ahead. They're not going to work towards something. The level of sophisticated processing, building, developing in order to get to the bread, only the human being would have. And so while hard work and not being able to just pick something off a tree or pull it out of the ground and eat it may be, in a certain sense, a curse, in another sense, it's a blessing, because it's what distinguishes us as human beings, as serious human beings, as mature human beings, which is the ability to work towards something, not to have it right away. That's really the definition, in a certain sense, of a bardas, of adulthood, of maturity, of a human being achieving maturity. You ever try telling your child, when they ask you something, sure, in an hour? Tell that to a little child, in an hour. What happens? 3 minutes later, they say, okay, where is it? Like, when are we doing it? When are we going? The notion of time is not present for a young child. We talk about this many times. The idea of development, of moving towards a goal, is what is a sign of maturity. When one is simple, when one is childish, or for that matter, the animal simply just, they see what's in front of them. The reward has to be what's in front of them. To project, to imagine something that's going to be much later on, down the line, something to work towards, to develop, that's not within their capacity. The human being has that capacity specifically. Matan Torah is personified, not personified, but exemplified by a period of time. Usfartem lochem imochras haShabbos. You count from Pesach, from the day after Pesach, you count day after day till you have a week, and week after week till you have 7 weeks, till you get to the climax of Matan Torah. The Jewish people were interested. They were anxious to have the Torah. The Medrash says, they're waiting, when do we get the Torah that you promised us? When are we going to get the Torah that you told us about? Moshe Rabbeinu said, it's going to be a little bit of time. Work for it, wait for it, count for it, move towards it. That was the process. And so it's exemplified by the move from the barley, the animal food, which sprouts quickly, aviv, the first thing to sprout from the ground. It's ready, they just throw it in the oven, bake it a drop, dry it out a drop, and it's ready to be fed, it's ready to be put on the mizbeach. But that's primitive. Developed is thought, process, moving something through, step by step by step, till you achieve the goal. To make the raw flour, the grains that take a little bit more time to even develop as a grain, but then to be processed with so many steps to develop it into a loaf of bread. Then, when Adam saw, you know, that's what makes me different. That's what makes me unique. To work towards something, towards an eventual goal. Then he felt completely different. He felt comforted that he wasn't the same. He wasn't the same as a behemoth. And perhaps that's the same thing why it's the celebration of the chametz. There's a lot to be said for matzah. There's a lot that we understand that sitting around and having something sit and ferment because it's just sitting around, that's in a certain sense an exemplifies the Yetzer Hara. But on the other hand, matzah you can make in a rush. Chametz you can't. You can't make bread in a rush. Right? You gotta just let it have that time where it sits. Where it sits and sits some more and rises. And then you can bake it. By nature, it requires more time. And the reality of the world of acceptance of the Torah the way we have it is that it takes more time. It takes more time. Always note that we refer to the Torah as the tree of life. Right? Every time we put the Torah back in the Aron Kodesh, what do we say? What do we sing? Eitz Chaim Hi. It is the tree of life for those who grab onto it. It is, that reference is like the tree of life in Gan Eden. What was the tree of life in Gan Eden? Fruit. Adam HaRishon had to be sent out of Gan Eden because Hashem was worried. Hashem said man has to die, has to have death because he ate from tree of knowledge. He'll just pick one of those fruits, he'll eat it, and he'll live forever. As if it's something that you can do in a second. The Eitz Chaim that we have accessible to us now, we have a tree of life accessible. And what is that? It's the Torah. Is that something that you pick and take a bite out of and presto chango? No. The tree of life, which is the Torah, is a progressive, arduous experience. You learn an aleph, you learn a beis, you learn how to put letters together, you learn how to put words together, you learn psukim, implementation, so many different mitzvahs, levels of mitzvahs, development, growth. It's not an easy pickings. It's a progression, it's a life's project in order to be able to get there. That's the reality of Kabbalah's HaTorah, of acceptance of Torah and working towards something that we have today. And in a sense, of course, that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim also liberates us to be able to have. Because if slaves are lacking one thing, it is long-term objectives. A slave just gets their marching orders for the day. It's not up to them to decide what the long-term objective is. And they wouldn't think of it in any case. Their job is to do today what they're told. To do today what they're told. And in fact, as we know, famously, Chazal tells us that Paro did the opposite. he made it that there was no such thing as a long-term objective. He had them build cities on quicksand so that as soon as they made a few steps forward, it sunk into the ground and there was nothing to show for it. There was no sense of a progression. When a person is free and they set their own agenda, we can begin to define for ourselves a goal, an objective, not just to get through today, but something down the line. And that's what makes a great human being. That's what makes an adult. That's what differentiates. And that's, in a certain sense, the message of a period like Sfiras HaOmer, where we don't just pop into Yontif, but we understand that there's a progression step by step that ends at the top of Har Sinai, that climaxes in something. That's the Torah that I wanted to share with you. The relevance of this Torah, the relevance of this idea, is, I think, huge. And for each of us, as we get through life, as we work through life, the idea of having an eventual goal, of seeing ourselves wanting to be able to accomplish things, to get someplace that we know we're not going to get to today, that we can't just get to instantaneously. Whether in religious life, in personal, in our personal goals, aspirations, ambitions, it's much easier to just try to get something very, very quickly. To go, to have a spiritual experience that gives you a charge, a recharge, to be able to somehow, keep going forward. What's the greater challenge, and where the greatest dividends lie, is not in just setting up to do something today, but in an ambition, a longer-term goal, something where you know that you're not getting all of it right away, and that you're not going to be able to get all of it right away, but to see yourself moving towards something. That's where the greatest growth is. That's where the greatest strength is. I often tell this to people, younger people going into Rabbonis. Sometimes we're tempted when in shul life and rabbinic life and so on and so forth to make lots of exciting programs, here and there. They say it's true, it's nice, and it gets people's interest, and they're nice icing on the cake. But you know where the real development, you know where the real growth comes from? You know where you're going to see the people around you develop and grow? It's going to be from those who are going to be signing on to the less glamorous but more consistent ongoing work of development. To come for something is easy come, easy go. Like there's a lady named Erica Brown. I give her the greatest credit for this. Erica Brown, she's a lady, she lives in Washington. She's a very fine lady and a scholar. And she basically, she's a scholar in residence for a living. And she wrote a paper about why scholars in residence are a very ineffective way for for people to do things. Why? Because they come and they're gone. They come and they're gone. And what we, of course, I think there's great value to have occasionally people seeing a fresh face and getting some inspiration from it. I wouldn't be drastic about anything like that. But where the real action is, where the real action is in the ongoing project, the development that's continuous. As a person says, it's not Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, it's not a quick thing, it's a goal set and moving towards it. I mean, it's the kinds of things which we try to do often with our children. What do they advise? You have a child, you give them a little bit of an allowance or something like that. So what's the rule? Chetzi l'Hashem, v'chetzi l'Hashem. They get to use some, but what else do they need to do? What's the best idea? Use some and save some. Why? Right? You want to train a child to grow up. You train a child to see that this week's 50 cents is next week's dollar. At the end of the month is $2. And you know what? In a couple of months you can actually get that thing that you wanted. In a few months you can get that thing that you wanted. Maybe you should even that, you know, save some more. But just learn to work towards a goal. Not in and out quickly to do something. I'll tell you just an example for myself, something which I tried, and I know many people do this, but like we have just an example of one of these things. There are dozens of examples that we could all find in life, but I found that when it comes to learning the parsha, people run out of gas. You know, you're supposed to review the parsha every week. Be Mavir Sedra at the beginning of the year. Bereshis, everybody gets excited in the beginning. They do it. By Lech Lecha, they're out of gas. Right? They can't do it. And then reviewing the parsha means, okay, so you open up the Chumash Friday night or Friday afternoon or whenever it is. And, if we would say the proportion of Divrei Torah which are said at Shabbos tables from the first 10 psukim of the parsha, right, would be very, very high. So today we have an idea. We'll have a 7-year plan. And every week you'll learn one aliyah in the parsha. Right? I don't know, we've been doing it. I've been doing it with the shiurim, and people do it. A number of people do it. So it's an amazing thing. In a certain sense, it takes a certain self-discipline. This isn't the most attractive aliyah in the parsha. When I first started it, somebody said, it's easy now. What's going to happen when we get to Chamishi and Parshas Pekudei? there are some parts which are a grind, which would seem to be much more of a grind, much more difficult. But the sense, this year it's like it's our fifth year. Like we're going through the fifth aliyah of all these parshios. And for myself, I've learned the Chumash before. But to have the special emphasis to whenever you get to a parsha, the parts which just attract more attention, but to be forced to spread it out, there's such a sense of growth and accomplishment which comes from establishing a longer term goal. That's godless. That's maturity. That's the celebration of a progression of Sfiras HaEmer. We bandy about the terms of instant gratification and so on and so forth. We know those things aren't great; they aren't healthy, and we fight them in sort of like an individual way to be careful to know. But this idea of not just that it often feeds bad decisions, but to develop ourselves as human beings is going to become from making bread instead of eating the stuff that comes from the ground, from progressions, from step after step, from the self-discipline to look for something in a more distant future, a place where you want to be, an accomplishment which you want to have. It's a fundamental part of being a person. It's a fundamental part of Kabbalah HaTorah, which is, of course, to create a human being the way a human being is really, really supposed to be. The ultimate Yom HaShishi, the sixth day of creation, when the human being was created, Chazal tell us, was the sixth day of Sivan when Hashem gave us the Torah. It's not something we fell into. It's something which we moved towards and progressed towards. So that's the message I wanted to share with you for the month of Iyar. As we're counting the Omer every time adding a day, think of a goal. Of a goal. Think of something. Something to build, something that won't be fixed tomorrow, you won't be ready for tomorrow, but that you want, someplace where you want to be, as a human being, as a Jew, as a davener, as a studier, as a student of Torah, as a Shomer Mitzvahs, as a Balas Chesed, as a mother, as a sister, as a child, as whatever it is, a project that will take step by step to get there. it dignifies us, and there's a shame we should all grow accordingly. Thank you. I'm open to questions. I don't usually have questions. Okay. Thank you very much. Have a good Chodesh. Thank you again. Thank you again.
I remember one year you taught us after.